White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way! You're always in their fighting and you boo your best. We're glad to have you out here in the Middle West. We're gonna root, 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 White Sox!
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. And look who's sitting here, John Hughes. My old, old buddy. I'm often nervous doing the show, but I shouldn't be nervous with you in the studio, John. John and I, how long do we go back?
Way long.
Way.
We were both handsome and bulletproof for the last time, so it's been a while.
You were doing a story for the Louisville newspaper. Which way? I can't remember the name of it. The Courier Journal?
Well, it became the Courier Journal. When I was there, it was the Louisville Times.
So, yeah, you came up to Chicago years ago, 30 years ago maybe, and we hung out. I showed you a little bit around Chicago.
About 1981.
Was it 81? Was it really? Yeah. Man, holy mackerel. Then we went to the DR, Puerto Rico, Kansas City, Kentucky Derby, Max Club Deuce. We're definitely going to talk about that. Saw Bukowski's grave. But now here you are in Chicago, thus the White Sox. You're in town with the Louisville Slugger Museum.
Absolutely.
Right?
Happy to be with Louisville Slugger at Sox Fest, having a good time over there. Been there the past couple of days. Got another day to go tomorrow.
You got another day to go tomorrow. Yep. So people find you there. What do you present? What is the Louisville Slugger?
Well,
a booth? Or is it a booth?
Got,
or what
well,
is
we've
it?
Pretty much got a miniature version of the museum there, which is and we feature a couple of things. People can come over there and see how a bat gets turned. We are making bats the way that Louisville Slugger made them going back to 1884 when the very first one was made on a hand-turning lathe over there. And so people can watch a bat get made. And the thing that I think is if you're a baseball fan, certainly if you're a White Sox fan, one of our features at the museum and on the road with us is an exhibit or a feature called Hold a Piece of History, where people can come over and actually hold baseball bats that were used in games by players that are historic, influential, any adjective you can name for greatness. These guys were using Louisville Sluggers back throughout their career.
I read in the notes you sent me, Joe Jackson's bat?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That bat like? Have you held it?
I have held it very carefully.
Yeah.
It's a bat that he used sometime, of course, after 1919, but after he had gone out barnstorming. We got one of his bats, and it's there. I mean, it's unbelievable. You walk in, and people come in, and they're like, really? It's hard to imagine. You're holding Joe Jackson's bat.
And you let people do that. You don't have to wear,
don't even have to take off your shoes.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to wear gloves or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to put on
you
gloves.
Put on, you
what
put
are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is like, you know.
Right. Yeah,
come on! This museum kind of stuff here, man.
Roberto,
you don't walk in with bare hands and hold Joe Jackson's bat.
So they give you a set of gloves.
You don't take them home, but you put them on there, and it's like it is awesome. I mean, it's just, how many museums do you go into and actually hold the stuff, right? I mean, they talk about it. You're told history. Here, you're holding history. Joe Jackson's bat's there. Guys. Harold Baines, the new member of the Hall of Fame.
His B-345.
Correctamundo.
What does that mean?
that means that his bat model was made by, was designed for a player whose last name began with B.
Okay.
And was the 345th person whose last name began with a B to have his own Louisville Slugger made. In this case, that was Darryl Boston's bat who made that. Darryl Boston had the B. What'd you say it was? 345?
B-345 is what I wrote down. Pauly's C-271?
Yeah, the 271. That's
Mr.
Rod,
Canerco?
That's Rod Carew's bat. That's probably one of the C-271 and the C-243 are the two most popular bats. So his is the 271. Now, the one that, in terms of those, the models that have significance, the one that is particularly interesting is the Jim Thome bat. Of course, Thome just made it into the Hall last season. This season, or just a few days ago.
Yeah, his wife's been on the show. Yeah.
A few days ago, Edgar Martinez is going to be making it into the Hall. Well, the Thome bat is actually the model that was created for Edgar Martinez. So that bat's got two Hall of Fame connections, and it's right there waiting for people to come over and take a look at it.
And you also have Cubs bats, Chris Bryant.
Well,
you have Sammy Sosa's, you know, Sammy Sosa's cork bat.
I think that one is in Cork, Ireland. Yeah. So now, just to be completely clear, we don't have Cubs bats on this in the Mobile Museum.
Yeah.
I mean, we just brought White Sox bats.
Yeah, right, of course. How many White Sox bats did you bring?
Let's see.
Ballpark.
Five,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ballpark? Did you really just say ballpark?
Yeah. And Clemente's bat. I know you're a Clemente fan.
Well, Clemente represents a story that is one of many that is that you'll find in the bat vault at Louisville Slugger in our in the museum in Louisville. It's a wonderful and a tragic and you know, just thrilling story for a baseball fan. We have a bat in there for him that was made that he never got to use. Yeah. Clemente's entire career used, well, among other bats, he used a bat, the model U1, made for a player called Bernard Bartholomew Uholt, right? You know him. You probably knew him as Frenchie Uholt. But Clemente used that bat. He never had his own model. In 1972, he gets his 3,000th hit in his last at bat. Sometime after that, he sends specifications to Louisville Slugger of the bat that he wants made to be his own model. Louisville Slugger makes that bat on December 12, 1972, and then on New Year's Eve of that year, Clemente gets killed in the plane crash. So in our bat vault that people can actually come and look at, again, hold, is a bat that used by the great one that he never got to hold himself.
I've been to Louisville many, many times, especially a lot of times since I last saw you. My brother lives in Nashville, so a lot of times I'll stop in Louisville. I'm driving to Nashville. But I don't know the answer to why bats in Louisville. What's the origin of the company in Louisville?
Because that's where the people lived when they made the first one.
Yeah.
About as simple as you can put it. The Hilrich family
right.
Had moved there, a German immigrant family that came to Louisville. And in the 1850s, they had started a furniture company. And then their son became very interested in baseball. You know, their company actually predates baseball, but their son, Bud Hilrich, was a big baseball fan. 1884, Louisville had a Major League Baseball team. Hannes Wagner played on the Louisville Eclipse baseball team. Well, the long story short, Bud Hilrich went out to a baseball game to see the Eclipse play. He saw this guy, Pete Browning. Another great, great baseball story. He saw Pete Browning break his bat. And so Hilrich was 17 years old. He goes down. He meets the Pete Browning after the game. He says, "Look, Mr. Browning, I know you broke your bat. I know that, you know, bats are not easy to come by." I mean, this is back in the day when guys were still making them out of wagon tongue and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, Louisville Slugger didn't exist yet. But that changed because... But Hilrich convinced him to come back to the family's wood shop, where ordinarily they would have been making something like a bedpost or a porch spindle or something to that effect. But on that day, they made what ended up being the very first Louisville Slugger.
Yeah. And you can kind of do a twin spin. I don't recall right now what the name of the stadium is where the... I don't even know what they call themselves now. They used to be the Bats.
They are, in fact, the Louisville Bats.
Are they still the Bats?
It is, in fact, Louisville. It is Slugger Field.
It is Slugger Field.
Yeah.
And how far is that from the
About,
museum?
About 8 or 9 blocks. So it makes a perfect 5-hour drive from Chicago to come down there, see a Louisville Slugger game, and walk your way down to, well, go to the Louisville Museum first, and then walk your way down to a Louisville Slugger.
Louisville's a great town. It really is.
Great. It's fabulous. Great. That's why I moved back there.
Is it really? Is it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the Ali Museum, I make that part of the
weekend. It's also, if you walked from the Slugger Museum to Slugger Field, you can make a slight half a block detour and you'll be at the Ali Center.
I've got some White Sox bats trivia for you, John.
Oh, no.
Mason Williams, I saw him play last year. His grandfather's brother was Walt No Neck Williams, White Sox outfield.
This will shock you and your listeners in 38 states in northern Mexico, but I did not know that.
Yeah, is there new stuff, a new visitor experience? What's on tap?
It's about
2019
to be. It is about to get really exciting. I mean, anybody, we get a lot of guys. You know, a lot of people have been to our museum, obviously from Chicago, but if they've not, they haven't been to it like it's gonna be in just a short while. The entire museum is being renovated with new experiences that are gonna give guests the opportunity to you know, feel the process of bat making, starting in a simulated forest, moving their way into the factory. We've always taken people through the factory, but one of the things that's going to be part of the renovation is that people will start to make a better connection between what starts out as a tree, ends up as a billet, and turns into a bat, and how that bat is used in the hands of some of the best players in the games, like National League MVP Christian Yelich, for example.
Yeah. Do you do? I noticed you do. Do you do personalized bat? And are you doing personalized bats here in Chicago?
Come on. What are you? You're leading me into this moment now.
Yeah.
We do, in fact, sir, do personalized bats. In fact, people who are listening live, if they come over tomorrow to Sox Fest, they can register to win a personalized bat. Yeah, we put your. Put your name on it. Put a message if you want to put it on that. The bats that we made, the bats that we use for personalized bats are the M110, which, by the way, well, I don't have to tell you this, but I know, again, for your listeners' sake, the M110 is the bat used by Mickey Mantle. And based on what I told you previously, you would rightly assume, well, the M110, that must be Mantle 110. You would be wrong, sir. That bat was made, the M110 was made for Eddie Malone. Oh. Now, Mr. No Neck, who was Eddie Malone?
I don't know.
Eddie Malone actually was
player to me.
He was from Chicago, and he played for the White Sox.
Oh, okay.
And Mickey Mantle used his bat, and now so can Dave Hoekstra.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of our travels. Luckily, we don't have a lot of time left. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal with our dear friend, John Hughes. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN with my friend John Hughes from Louisville Slugger, but there's so much more than that. Man, I don't know. We met in Chicago, and I know you got me into the Derby, but I think about you. You know, one time I was at the Super Bowl. Actually, we were in Miami. I was covering for the Sun-Times, and there you appeared on my computer. I don't know where you were, but that was the Rex Grossman Super Bowl. But Miami, you and I wandered around Miami. I want the listeners, because you showed me South Beach when it was really, I remember it reminded me a little bit of Wicker Park before it got gentrified. How'd you end up in Miami?
I went there after working at the I started out in Louisville, then I went to the Kansas City Star, and then from Kansas City Star I ended up in working in Miami for the Miami News in the beginning, then the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, and so there I was right there slap in the middle of South Beach. And
what was South Beach like back then? And tell the listeners, what year would that have been?
It would have been the mid 80s. It was funky, but a whole different level of funky than it is today. It was not your Bruce Weber kind of funky. It was, here's a good example of it. I remember one of the stories that I did down there, on Ocean Drive.
Yeah.
Ocean Drive, where the Avalon and all those hotels are. I did a story about an apartment complex on Ocean Drive where the average age was 86. Right? Now, the wacky part about that
I'll be there soon.
No, you're going to have to step up the game a little bit to get in there today, because that actual complex, that apartment complex, ended up being the agent, the headquarters, the South Beach headquarters for the, what was it, Eileen Ford? Was that the modeling agency?
Yeah, right, yeah.
The Eileen Ford modeling agency took over a place that had been residents average age 86.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they weren't modeling for her, but it was, that's just the kind of transition period that was down there.
You're such a great writer. You're such a great feature writer, you know, and I don't even know what the outlet is for. I mean, every day there's bad news about newspapers, but what a time. And I was doing it too. I mean, just of writing these great features. I remember we did a thing on Dave's Bar.
Dave's Bar.
Yeah, you sent that to me.
I remember that. Yeah. Dave's Bar on Fifth Street and on the other side, on the other side of what is usually considered South. Here's the thing I remember about Dave's Bar. I remember going in there, research, purely for research, of course. But I'm in there at like 11 o'clock on a, before noon on a weekday, I'm in Dave's Bar. And I go in there because it's you. It's Dave's. It's yours. I'm going in there. Got to see what it's all about, see if it lives up to the name. Turns out it did. I'm in there, and there's this guy at the bar, and he's like bemoaning the fact that he doesn't have his rent money. No, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got no rent. I'm like, it's the end of the month. I'm going to get evicted, blah, blah, blah. And he orders a beer. They come over, and some other guy next to him says, I thought you didn't have any money. He said, I didn't say I didn't have beer money. I said, I don't have rent money. So that's the kind of place it was back in those days.
You've got such a – I followed you all around the country. We went to Bukowski's grave.
Yeah,
Queen Mary, you mentioned that. I kind of forgot about that. There must have been shenanigans going on.
There's a lot to forget.
What did we do in the Queen Mary? I was doing a story, right? The Queen Mary didn't move. It was like a hotel or something, right?
Really? I thought it was a movie.
Did it move?
No, it was it's set up as a hotel, and you were staying there. You were doing some sort of story or something, or you claimed to. You might have been hiding out from somebody for all I know.
And you came to visit me.
I did.
And then we saw, and you got to know Bukowski's wife.
I did, yeah. Linda Bukowski, wonderful woman who probably is the only woman in the world who could have been married to Charles Bukowski. We went to his grave, remember?
Yeah.
Remember what it said on his grave? Oh, don't try.
Don't try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you? Well, you did stories on him.
Here we are.
You did stories on him on Long Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It was. He had just recently passed.
Yeah.
When I was there, so I was writing a recollection about the impact that his life had on people around him and all that kind of stuff.
You know, there's two things I want to get to in like 5 minutes, but I remember one thing I remember about you. You're from Alabama. You can hear the accent. You're from Alabama?
Alabama, baby.
Didn't you tell me what part of Alabama?
Northern.
Are you a Roll Tide guy?
Who's not? I'm more like a rolled over Tide kind of guy because I'm not that big on them.
But we talked about this. This wasn't on my list of questions, but did you study for the ministry or something?
I did. I studied enough to know that I wasn't going to be good for it. My purpose for going to Louisville was to go to seminary. And I got in seminary, and in order to pay my way through seminary, I got a job as a sports clerk for the Louisville Courier Journal. And once I got in the newsroom, I didn't need a cathedral. That was it.
Baby. That was it.
That was it.
All over that.
That was it.
But I just wonder with that upbringing and that initial thing, was that because I've read so much of your stuff and you have such an empathetic ear and an empathetic eye that had to play into that.
Of course it does. Uh-huh. And it ended up shaping everything that I've done since. And it's a wonderful place to be from, you know, that kind of environment.
Yeah. Now, we'll keep you on the mic for the next hour, ask questions. You can kind of co-host with me. But, I mean, so then I lost track of you. The Super Bowl, I get some strange tech. You went to Armenia.
I did.
That's the one place I didn't follow you at.
I thought I was going to Romania. It turns out it was Armenia. So there you have it.
And was it to establish a journalism training?
Well, in the beginning, I was sent there on an assignment for the newspaper I was working in.
That was in Orange County?
Yeah, Orange County Register.
Was that one of the last times we saw it? I don't know if I...
I was still working there when you came.
Yeah.
Last time I saw you, I think that was the Queen Mary trip. Yeah. Or the Queen Mary non-trip, since it was just sitting there.
Yeah. So talk about that. So
which one?
Going to the Armenian.
Well, I went. It was 1996. One day my editor calls me into the office, says, we need you to go to Armenia to write about a very wonderful program that's going on over there with some ophthalmologists who are doing work after the earthquake and the war and things of that sort. And really, I really thought she said Romania. So yeah, I'm thinking, really, you know, tiny gymnast, how hard can it be, right? So I'm going to go over there. And I mean, this is pre-internet, pre-everything that we have today. I remember going into our library to look it up, and then at some point, somebody said, no, it's not Romania, it's Armenia. And all it said was the Republic of the Union of Soviet Socialists. And that's about all I knew about it. But I ended up there, did the assignment, came back, got invited to go back to do freelance. Went back in 98 to do a book. And then in the end of 2000, was asked to go over there and help start a journalism training program.
We got break for the news, but how long? I don't even know how long.
This isn't news.
How long you been back? When'd you move back to Louisville?
I've been back just a few years. Been a couple of years in Louisville.
Okay, so don't go away. You're gonna hang tight with us, right?
I'm with you, babe.
Okay, so don't go away. I'm gonna have some zither. I'm really excited about this. So we have some zither music after David Jennings' news on WGN.